Duncan McLeod, and this is the Tech Central podcast brought to you today by Dark Fiber Africa. Now, Vino Govender rejoins the show. Vino is, of course, Executive for Strategy, Mergers and Acquisitions at DFA. Vino, it's good to see you. How are you?
I'm good, Duncan. Keeping well.
Good stuff. Now, we're going to talk about digital transformation today, Vino, which has obviously become a major talking point on the back of everything that's happened in, I think, what can only be described as an eventful year. And I think that's putting it mildly. It's been quite a hell of a year. Vino, DFA has been through a big digital transformation project itself. In fact, I think you may still be busy with some aspects of it. You are keen to share some insights into how that project has gone and what other companies can learn from it. I'm guessing, though, that DFA was already quite digital in its processes, given it's a fairly young company and operates in the tech space. Did you still have a lot to do when you embarked on this project?
Yes, Duncan. Yeah, you're right. You know, being in the tech space and being at the infrastructure level, we do some lit services as well. We weren't bogged down with a lot of legacy systems, legacy OSSs, BSSs that you'd see in a service provider type of network. The reality was we didn't have a lot of legacy systems in place. Mm. However, you know, that also meant that didn't mean there was no need reason to transform. Because when we look at the business, or any business for that matter, the heart of digital transformation or any transformation effort in an organization ultimately comes down to how do you really improve that customer experience? It really comes down to a customer experience. And that's where, you know, I would say the ultimate measure is, to what extent have you enhanced, differentiated, exemplified your customer experience? And from a DFA perspective, as we grew the business, starting predominantly, our primary customers being operators, and then we moved to more ISPs and to enterprise clients as well, those guys that do have licenses to operate a network, the demands from their end customers became even more, more higher. The demand for service, the demand for responsiveness, I would call it a frictionless zero touch engagement, ease of doing business, which meant that we had to transform as well, because we provide an input into those services that they deliver to the end customers. So having said that, being new, we didn't have many legacy systems, but having to rise to that occasion required effort.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Now, how did you determine how you went about improving customer experience? How did you measure it, and what were the what would you consider were the success factors in reaching the goal of what you were doing through this project?
Well, when you look at we measure customer experience using the NPS,
okay,
Net Promoter Score, and we've seen a significant improvement from last year to this year, and we continuously measure that. In fact, it's part of our business scorecard, mm-hmm. The company scorecard. So that's something we measure. Whether you improve the customer experience is important, right? So what we've done is there's a couple of key projects that we've initiated in the organization. The first one is, for our strategy comes down to this. It's a customer segment that you serve. And what's the value proposition do you take to that customer? And how do you execute? So the value proposition is not just about the product. It's how you market, sell, and serve. Mm-hmm. So what we've done is we kind of mapped that customer journey and looked at each touch point of the customer journey. What do we need to do to improve that value stream that creates value towards the customer experience? That's the first thing. So getting that understanding. So it gives us a very succinct focus areas in terms of where do we improve customer experience. Now that you know what customer experience should look like, what the customer journey should look like, which means transforming from the as is to the to be state. It's something that we refer to as, you know, what's our operating model going to look like? If our current operating model looks like this currently, what should it look like if we are going to improve the customer experience? So how should the processes change? How should the different departments interact with each other? How does information flow? How do tasks get allocated? So what we're referring to is that operating model, which is underpinned by our business architecture. Yep. So the business architecture is how do we do things in the business? And once we've got that in place and we've made a lot of progress in that, in fact, I've got a dedicated team working purely on business architecture, looking at in each value stream area, what should that operating model change like in order to deliver a better customer experience? And now that we know, have a view of what the business architecture is, how do we support it and underpin it with digital technologies? And that digital technologies, including data management. Mm. How do we use data to make data-informed decisions? How do we automate processes? How do we improve the ease of business with our customers using digital applications? How do we organize our digital or IT architecture? So business architecture informs IT architecture.
Yeah.
And that in itself is the execution of our digital transformation journey. And that's how that's the approach we've taken.
Okay.
And I must say it's really had an impact. I mean, on the internal processes. During COVID, we had a lot of, you know, where some tasks or some business areas didn't have volume of tasks to do. Mm-hmm. We've actually redirected them and focused them on cleaning up data, because accurate data is important. You can have the best applications, but if you have low data of low integrity, it's not going to work. So we've done a lot of work in terms of cleaning up data, asset data, customer data, geospatial data of our plants, and also we can improve feasibilities. Mm. And that's the way we've approached it.
Do you think that so often, especially now, I think after the lockdown, after COVID, and all the work from home measures, I think many companies are looking at this buzzword digital transformation and saying, well, we need to do something because we can't be caught with our pants down again if this happens for a second time. But what was interesting is what you've just gone through, how you looked at the business processes first and what needed to be fixed, what needed to be improved, et cetera, before you even had a conversation about the IT, the technology that could underpin that.
Yeah.
It sounds like the right way to go about it, but do you think many companies don't think that far? They think, well, hell, we need to do something to address this lockdown, this work from home measure. We need to digitally transform, call in the IT guys. We need to buy technology.
Yeah. And you know, from an IT perspective, it's you know, I refer to your enterprise architecture, your IT architecture. It's in simple words, it's just how do you organize your systems? How do you organize the data from these systems? How do you organize the integration, seamless integration or flow of data between systems as well? But you know, you can start with that first, but what are you trying to achieve?
Mm.
You know, and that's why it's important to understand, if we are going to improve our customer, which is the strategic driver for us, if we are going to improve our customer experience, what should our operating model look like? And if you know what the operating model looks like, because that's the way the transformation is happening, right? Yeah. The transformation is happening from the as-is to the to-be state of your operating model. And it's a journey. And digital is primarily a tool to enable that. It's a key enabler. All the facets of digital, when you look at data, when you look at technologies such as robotic process automation, algorithm-driven processes, remote applications, customer portals, are all part, are all technologies that come together and applications that come together that are organized to support the operating model. So and when you ask me, the question is, do all companies do that? I can't answer that for all companies. But when I look at some of the leading companies that have done well in it, I mean, let's look at an example that we all know about, which is Amazon. Hey, Amazon started off as a book company, right, ebook company, but now that they had the resources, now that they had an operating model to get customers to get customer requests in, to handle fulfillment, they extended that value chain, right? But they were relentless on that customer experience. Even during COVID, Jeff Bezos came back out of his came back into operations,
yeah.
And he was hands-on in managing customer orders, fulfillment, and relentlessly focusing on the customer experience. So when I look at companies like that, that have done well in that space, I guess there's a recipe to be followed. Maybe not 100%. You're gonna have to kind of tweak it for the markets and business and the industry that you operate in. But I would say the template can't differ that much.
Is customer experience always the measure that you should be looking at in these projects, or does it differ from industry to industry in your view?
When you look at a business, and my simple, coming from a marketing background as well,
yeah.
A business exists to fulfill a need. Mm-hmm. And the business exists to fulfill the need of a customer. Without a customer, a business would not exist. I'm just trying to think of a business where you don't have a customer. Nothing that doesn't come. Even a non-profit organization fulfills a need for a customer. So if that is the case or the reason for the existence of businesses, and if you create that customer value, you definitely are going to create shareholder value. Some companies focus a lot on creating shareholder value. But you cannot divorce one from the other. Creating shareholder value only might mean that you do it in an unsustainable manner.
Yes.
You want to grow your customer base. You want to retain your customer base. You want to diversify your service portfolio and sell that into your customer base, which is sustainable business, because you're continually building additional growth pivots on your business. Now, if you're not great at satisfying your customer on a simple need, you're definitely not going to be great at persuading your customer that you're going to be able to fulfill and satisfy their more complex needs going forward. Mm. So you can't pivot and find those future growth curves, and that's where I see it.
Yeah, so everything else flows from having a satisfied customer. Maybe take us through the project that you guys did. When did you first start talking about this? How long did you take to scope it? How did you go about the scoping process? And what was involved in managing this sort of project? Did you lead it yourself? Did you have someone in your team leading this project?
So I must say, from a DFA perspective, it's something that we discussed as part of our strategy sessions at an exco level. So our entire leadership team, and this is the cool part, right? It doesn't just rest on one individual. It rests on the entire leadership team, from the CEO to the CTO to the CIO to sales to me strategy to human capital, because we need to engage our employees. How do we engage your employees using digital technologies is another form of digital transformation. Yeah. At the very early start, we've decided, and it's cool that we talk about this today because today is CX Day, that the customer experience would be a measure that we'll track for this organization for 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And once we settled on that, it was like, okay, So how do we improve that customer experience, right? And once again, you know, like I mentioned, we went through the process of looking at CX, tracking it, putting the measures in. But at the same time, finding out, okay, where are the blockages? At what points are we kind of failing? And I must say, we didn't get it right the first time. You know, we tried, I'll put inverted commas, digital transformation type of interventions, mm-hmm. In terms of automation. But we have to do that, run that in parallel while we are building the bigger plan, you know, the bigger overall strategy. So there's certain things that you knew that we had to fix. For example, we had to fix we had to ensure that our data accuracy, especially on GIS type of or spatial data, is accurate. So because you know it enables us to do feasibility and those types of things much more quickly. So there's certain type of I would call it items or interventions that we said let this run while we abstract ourselves and look at the bigger picture. So that bigger picture translated into some key items. The first thing that we realized that we need to do is understand what would the customer experience look like. Let's paint that out. And we got a lot of feedback from our existing customers as well, a lot of feedback from our surveys. And we used that to kind of look at, you know, what the to-be state is. From now to the targeted to-be state it's going to be. And then we need to say, okay, if we did that, how does the business operate? What's our operating model? So your question is, how did we do that? And, you know, I must say, we had the option of going the consultant route, mm-hmm. but we also acknowledge that nobody knows our business quite like we do. So we use our internal resources in business excellence, which is a team that we had that looked at continuous business improvement. We found other resources within our businesses in the other regions and put together a very strong business architecture team. So that kind of went from a department to department to department, mapping out what's the DFA value chain. What are the value streams within the value chain? What are the key capabilities do we require to ensure exemplary customer experience in the value stream? What capabilities do we have and what are the gaps? So that gap analysis was a distinct piece of work that's done and it's still being concluded by business architecture. Working very closely with business architecture is the enterprise architecture team, and that's the IT team, our digital business services. So while we're talking business process and operating model, which is how the business should work, very closely in hand in glove working with them is the enterprise architecture teams looking at it. There's a gap. Okay, how do we fit this gap? How do we bridge this gap using digital technology? Is there room to automate? What technology do we apply? Is it something that we will use a kind of machine learning intervention or a robotic process automation intervention? Or is there a GIS tool that we need to do implementing in that space? So that's the way we run it. And it's a very much of an intuitive process. So that's our approach. So we run a operating model, business architecture, enterprise architecture, and then as we run this and as we pick up key projects or key interventions that's enterprise-wide, we move it into another team that we have, which is the Enterprise Project Management Office, which is an EPMO. And the EPMO now scopes out the intervention and assigns it to dedicated project managers that run the intervention through from a scoping, risk management, and implementation phase across the organization. So it's very tightly managed in terms of scope, in terms of timeline, in terms of delivery. And it's something that we at an ExCo kind of review on a bi-weekly or monthly basis as well. So it's a lot of attention that we as a leadership team, and even as our executive team, places a lot of focus on monitoring and executing.
Have you been able to measure any outcomes at this stage in terms of your NPS scores or any other measures that you might use, or is it too early?
No. So we've seen marked improvements on our NPS scores. I think it was a 5% gain. I'm not sure the exact number now. I can provide that through to you. But we think it was a significant increase in our NPS from year to year. And we've just completed. We've just in the process of completing our current NPS. So we look at that now and identify other areas of improvement. But we've definitely seen an upside on the NPS side of things. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing. In terms of automation, we've implemented what we call catalog-driven automation. So it's order management and service orchestration in our network. So that phase has been implemented. So previously, it was very manually driven. Now we've automated that process. There are other systems, that's important for the business as well. I mean, as a business, while we're improving the customer experience, we also have to ensure that we manage our business as well, right? Yeah. From a financial and risk perspective as well. Due to the data cleanup and data that we've been able to create dashboards, CapEx dashboards that enables us to keep a very strong predictive and transparent management view on the CapEx that we spend in the network and in expanding the network. And that also contributes to the customer experience, right? Because efficient CapEx deployment translates to more improved input cost structures for services. So, which is to the benefit of our customer. So those are the things that we see. Those are the upsides that we've seen in our digital transformation thus far.
Okay, and as you went through this process, did you have very good and quick buy-in from employees who were affected? Imagine when you're going through the sort of reorganization or reprioritization of many of your internal processes, that employees are directly affected by this. And in many cases, there may be resistance from those employees.
So Duncan, in any large scale change intervention, change management, is important for employees.
Yeah.
For the organization as well. And, communication was something that we paid a lot of attention to. So in the interventions, so let me give you an example, right? And especially during COVID. Mm-hmm. As an exco, on a weekly level, we used to communicate, we communicate to our company-wide exco, company-wide town hall, on strategy, on where the business is going, on the role of customer experience, why that's important. We did that today. Mm-hmm. The role of digitalization and the ease of doing business and creating the zero touch experience for our customers that ensures that we remain competitive from a value proposition perspective, but also ensures that we puts us in a position to extract further growth and value from our customers. So our employees kind of understand that. During COVID, I think, one of the upsides that we saw was we got a lot of our employees involved in data management, and by getting them involved in data management, they were kind of exposed to we're cleaning all this data, we're cleaning this plant data. What are we cleaning it for? It's because why? It's a lot of work cleaning data.
Yes,
and. But through that process, they realize, you know, firstly, the first lesson they learned is my role is next time I capture data on whatever system that I do it, I must take ownership for the accuracy of the data. So that's a good lesson to learn. But the other thing is that they also, you know, understood how having accurate data makes their life easier.
Yes.
Prevents rework, reduces frustration, you know. And another realization that kind of dawned on him. We've also, you know, moved some people from within the traditional roles to other roles in the business, you know. So, you know, showing that there is room to reinvent yourself in this transformed organization, which is, in a more digital world. So change management is important, like you mentioned. I think it's important that, you know, we communicate this to you, employees and teams, but also, you know, communicate to them that it's an opportunity for them to also find new growth paths for themselves and, you know, point them in the right direction. We did that, you know, during COVID, we pointed our employees to courses that they could go on. You know, there were a lot of free courses that were being offered on the MOOCs, you know, those platforms, Udemy. And in fact, we got a lot of feedback from employees in terms of those courses that they've been on. So, you know, and it's important because it's not just GFA that's moving more digitally or transforming more digitally. The world is, every company is. So you gotta take ownership of that, take cognizance of that, take ownership of that for your career, and get to those resources that you need to remain relevant.
Mm-hmm. Now, Vina, looking back at what you guys have done and been through on this project, is there anything you would have done differently? Was there anything along the way that you thought, well, this is a bit of a sticking point, we should have actually done it like that? And I'm just thinking, in the context of other companies watching this or listening to this podcast and thinking, well, we're at the beginning of our journey. DFA is well down its journey. What have you guys learned along the way? What mistakes should other companies avoid that DFA perhaps had to correct halfway through the project?
Yeah, I think, you know, what companies should bear in mind, and it's so easy to get distracted. Right, but start with the customer experience.
Yeah.
You know, start with the customer in mind. You know, and when you think, don't think in terms of the current paradigm. Build your business, build your operating model, build your operating model, build your architecture, build your systems. With the future insight, meaning that, you know, sometimes we might think, you know, the way things happen, you know, they work well, it will not change.
Yeah.
But, you know, challenge that. And what we've done is, you know, like for us, especially, you know, we've got a lot of millennials in your organization. We have millennials in our organizations. Get them involved. Because remember, they're the consumers of the future, right?
Yeah.
So it's you know, we could so easily look at it from a textbook perspective, you know, and then look at it from a systems perspective or from an IT perspective. But look at it from a customer perspective and design it around your customer. Look to the millennials that you have in your organization now. They are the consumers of the future. In fact, they are the business people of the future as well. Yeah. Get them involved. You'll be surprised at the ideas that they'll come up with. And when you're building out this play, don't keep it as just an exco or a management type of view. Mm-hmm. Get your organization involved. You know, by harnessing that knowledge, by harnessing the energy, you'd find that you can kind of preempt and prevent some blockages along the way or some impediments along the way. It's not a, I must say this, it is not a smooth journey. We've learned along the way. We are learning, and I'm sure we still will learn going forward. But there are some very basic fundamentals, like I mentioned, customer journey, understand what your operating model is, build to scale. Build for flexibility. Yeah. Even with your system, ensure that you open, ensure that the way you build your bridges and data, you know, be API centric, you know, open systems, open architectures, yeah, open protocols. These are important things because going forward, they allow you to scale, and they give you the flexibility to bring things in and take things out as you would need going forward.
Yes. And do you do this on a piecemeal basis, these sort of projects, or is it do you have set deliverables that you have to meet each week, for example?
So remember when I told you we did the enterprise architecture, which we kind of validating, but we moved to when you got for operating model, business architecture to operating model, and enterprise architecture underpinning that, then quickly you're gonna find out that you have the roadmap of things that we need to do digitally.
Yes.
Now, for you, the question you asked, let me go back, you know, something that you do differently. Don't try and do everything at once.
Okay.
You only have so much of people. You only have so much of resources.
Yeah.
You know, it's different from different organizations. So prioritize. So prioritization and sequencing of initiatives becomes important. So to your point, when you ask me, do we have anything? Yeah, we have a roadmap. Mm-hmm. Over horizons, over 12, 18, 24, and 36 month horizon. Mm-hmm. And we'll execute according to that plan and remain focused, on what needs to be done, because sometimes, you know, you might put the cart before the horse and that just creates a whole lot of problems. Mm-hmm. So I guess, you know, there's something to pay attention to as well.
Okay. Well, you actually shared some interesting numbers with me ahead of this podcast, Vino, from McKinsey, a McKinsey global survey that said that in the high tech industries, including media, telecommunications, and IT, the success of digital transformation projects is as low as 26%. But if you look at industries outside of those particular industries I've just mentioned, the success rates dropped to as low as 4%. Those are pretty shocking numbers. What's actually going on? Is it are companies rushing into this without thinking it through properly?
I think, you know, when you have each department trying to do digital transformation on its own, you will have the conflict, right?
Yeah.
So remember, you know, we call it digital transformation. I mean, companies have been transforming digitally for years now.
Yeah.
It's just an accelerated pace, right?
Yes.
And for me, what's important is some basic things, right? Understand if, you know, before you embark just on digital transformation, understand plus strategically the market and the industry that you operate in. That it's important to know, you know, what's my market position? What's my current market position? And what's my future market position? So how am I, because that determines how that your firm is going to shift in its industry.
Yeah.
If you know that, it means that you're going to shift. A couple of things are going to shift, right? Firstly, are your customers, who are your current customers today? Who are your customers for tomorrow? What are you going to deliver to them? You know, what are their needs? What are you going to deliver to them? What's the customer value proposition? What's the products? What are the services? How would you market? How do you sell? How do you serve? How do you assure them? When you have a very clear idea of that as an organization, which is actually your strategy, your segments, and your value proposition to the segments. Once you're very clear and succinct on that, then only, you know, go start looking at, okay, now let's transforming our operating model, our business architecture, and then the supporting enterprise architecture. But if we go and do piecemeal, if companies rush around and start doing piecemeal things, like marketing is going to go do something here,
yeah.
Sales are going to do something there. You find, firstly, it's incoherent. Firstly, it's not even starting with the customer or the strategic aspiration of the business.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. It's going to be incoherent. There's going to be conflict. Everybody in the organization will be tugging on the same resources to deliver what they want to deliver. So your resource allocation is not optimal.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, digital requires resource allocation.
Mm-hmm.
And no company has infinite resources. So, you know, you'd rather be a meter wide and knee deep than ankle deep and a mile long, you know? So give it the focus that it needs. It's important.
Yes.
Yeah. And then lastly, you start building disparate systems that can't even integrate with each other. So that's why, you know, we've chosen the route to start with our strategic objective.
Yeah.
Where are we moving? What's our market shift? The position in the industry, our customers, what matters to them? Mm-hmm. How, what should our operating model look like? And what should be the underpinning IT or enterprise architecture, which is made out of systems, data, applications, cybersecurity, policies, and that stuff.
Yeah. Excellent, Vino. Lots of food for thought there, and hopefully you've helped some executives at companies other than DFA to think about how they should be approaching these projects and tackling them. And I like your focus on customers first, and everything else flows from that. It does seem like the obvious first thing and right thing to do when tackling these sort of projects. But Vino Govender is Executive for Strategy, Mergers and Acquisitions at Dark Fiber Africa. Thanks so much for sharing your insights with Tech Central.
Thank you, Duncan. Nice chatting to you again.